The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and delighted to say joining me on the Saturday edition of the podcast is Gareth Topham. Gareth, great to see you as always. How are you keeping? Well, I've got to say, this is like old times, this, isn't it?
Always. Whenever me and you are on the mic together. Yeah, I don't know how punishing it is for the listeners, but no, it's a pleasure this end anyway. But no, what a great Saturday we've got to look forward to. Some excellent racing, not just at Haydock, but Ascot. And also the other meetings are, you know, although they're quite a long way behind in terms of quality overall, you know, there'll be an awful lot to look forward to. It's one of those vintage winter Saturdays.
Yeah, it certainly is indeed. Of course, the main meeting, if you like, is at Haydock, but there's also a really competitive card down at Ascot also. We'll start first actually with Haydock, Gareth, and the Betfair Chase. Five go to post for the Grade 1. And in your opinion, what wins?
Oh, you've asked the million-dollar question. Well, look, the ground is not anywhere near as soft as it usually is for this meeting. And that would have probably favoured a couple of the runners more than what it is going to tomorrow. The likes of Bristol DeMayo obviously won the race by half the home straight last year in bottomless ground. And also Native River, who we saw get the better of Mike Bide in the Gold Cup on what was a soft ground Gold Cup back in March. So that probably just makes it a shade tougher for both of those horses. Mike Bide, I think, is going to be very much favoured by conditions. Thistlecrack, if he bounces back, he could. I mean, he is getting on now. He's 10 rising 11. Would it be fantastic to, not quite Quarto Star coming back, but if they do get Thistlecrack back to perform really creditably on Saturday, it's going to be a big moment, isn't it? And Clan des Oboes, who's an improver, he's the young horse in the race. He's only six. He has got a little way to go to get to the level that his opponents are at, but you wouldn't entirely rule it out. He's representing Paul Nichols, the stabler in good form, and as I say, he's the young gun here. So it's a really intriguing field of five. Trying to pick a winner from it, if I had to put my house on it, I'd probably go for Mike Bite. I think the test of stamina at Haydock over this 3 mile, 1.5 furlong trip is not quite as testing as what it would be at Cheltenham. The ground is not as testing as it was at Cheltenham back in March. So I think he's got plenty in favour. He's got a good record fresh. He's an absolute superstar horse, isn't he, Mike Bite? They've ironed out those little chinks in his armour, those quirks that we saw one or two seasons ago. And again, I think Native River is going to give him the most to do. Let's face it, Native River's pretty good fresh with what he did back last season. So it could be a bit of a Gold Cup rerun between these two. But on the ground, I'd probably just favour Mike Bite to come out on top over Native River. But it's a fantastic race. And it's one of those races, you don't have to have a bet to enjoy it. You could just watch this race and really absorb it. And you know, if you're into the sport of horse racing and you're not enjoying this tomorrow, you're in the wrong game, really. So I'm just going to sit back, and I won't be having a bet in it. I'm just going to sit back, watch it, enjoy it, and watch five of the best chasers from Britain fight out what's going to be a terrific spectacle there at 3 o'clock. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
You mentioned there that Native River has also got a decent record fresh. And talking of horses going well fresh, if we come on to the 1965 chase at Ascot, Plitalog, very prominent in the market. He's got an excellent record fresh, hasn't he?
Yeah, Plitalog's another horse that sort of can go for you any time of year. He's a horse which carries his form well all the way throughout the season. As you say, Bobby, he can go well fresh. But he does sustain that run. And again, away from Ireland, he is one of the very best chasers over sort of 2 miles, 2.5 miles that we have here. And he's granite tough as well. He's another Paul Nichols inmate who I think can be expected to go very close in this Grade 2 affair, which is by no way the most valuable race on the Ascot card tomorrow. They really have lumped some prize money into their races tomorrow. It's actually a Class 2 handicap chase, which is the most valuable affair on at the card at Ascot on Saturday. But no, in this 1965 Chase has been won by some very good horses over the years. Of course, Top Notch won it for Nicky Henderson last year. And you go further down the line, you know, there have been some good names that you'd usually associate, you know, cracking two-mile chasers. And Politolog falls right into that category. He's won at the top level, and he will probably be the one that I'll be siding with in that 1965 Chase.
And in the 240 as well, Gareth, it's the grade two hurdle. If the cap fits, another one will be prominent in the market for Harry Fry. And I think We Have a Dream could run a big race here as well. I was there at Doncaster when he won the Summit Juvenile Hurdle. He went on to win that grade one at Chepstow on Welsh National Day. And let's not forget as well, he signed off last season with a grade one victory at the Grand National Festival.
Yeah, he did. I was at Aintree that day, and there was an awful lot to like about him. He is a proper athlete, this horse. And, you know, it was a good run in the race at Wincanton a couple of weeks ago, where he was actually behind If the Cap Fits. We didn't see a great deal of If the Cap Fits back last season. I think after Kempton at Christmas, he sort of got wiped out for the rest of the campaign, and that was that. But it was a really good comeback. They both finished behind a mare called Verdana Blue at Wincanton, but two very good runs. We Have a Dream is the younger horse. He's a second season hurdler, so naturally he's going to find it tougher this term. And If the Cap Fits, he hasn't got a great deal of experience, and he hasn't yet proven himself at the top level like We Have a Dream has for his age group. But they're two very intriguing contenders. They've both got massive futures that probably isn't going to finish over hurdles. They're probably both going to be chasers in time. And they are making this Coral Hurdle a very, very exciting prospect of a horse race tomorrow. So yeah, just another one you could just sit back and enjoy.
Bit of a tough question for you now, Gareth, because I'm going to ask you for your two selections ahead of racing on Saturday. Of course, it's very competitive, but if I said to you now, I need two selections from you, what do you think is going to win on Saturday afternoon? What would you tell me?
Have they got to be in the races that we've just been speaking about?
No,
they
any.
Right.
Any race, because obviously we've got racing at Ascot, we're at Haydock, we're at Huntingdon as well. Wolverhampton tomorrow evening, wherever you like, my friend, wherever you like.
Yeah, well, it won't be Wolverhampton.
Okay, no, no.
No.
To be fair, Tom Morley, when he does the podcast, he's like, where's Wolverhampton? Because he loves his flat race, doesn't he? He loves his all-weather action as well. So if Tom Morley was sat where you are now, he would have definitely gone for the all-weather action probably at Wolverhampton that night. But are you sick with the jumping yet?
Yes, I think I will stick with jumping, yeah. Bobby. Well, look, this first assignment, he's been the talk of the National Hunt season over the last couple of weeks, hasn't he? He's been really impressive. That win at Cheltenham the other day was breathtaking, and he deserves this step up to grade three level. I think he takes on some useful opposition, but he's getting weight from, I think, a couple of his main dangers, particularly the likes of Paisley Park. So I'm going to take him first assignment to maintain this progress and go very close in the 225. I do think Mike Bide will win the Betfair Chase, but yeah, I wouldn't put money on him because it's such a good race, and I wouldn't be surprised if any of whatever wins that race, you're not going to be overly shocked.
No.
And with the conditions not being as testing as they can be for this Haydock meeting, I think old Captain Redbeard, who's a bit of a Haydock specialist, can go very close in the Staying Handicap Chase at 3:35. They're the race which follows the Betfair Chase. So Stuart Colford, you know, the stable star for him. So Captain Redbeard. So yeah, I'd go first assignment 2:25. Captain Redbeard, 3:35, both at Haydock. Might bite the sandwich.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much to Gareth Topham for joining us here on the Racing Podcast. Now, at this part of the podcast, we normally say thank you very much for tuning in and tuning to William Hill Racing Radio on Saturday afternoon. However, we're now going to cross over and join Mark Walton and one of the William Hill traders here, Damien, as they look ahead to the racing on Saturday afternoon.
Hear his thoughts on William Hill Racing Radio.
Well, we have a superb weekend of racing in prospect at Haydock and Ascot, the Betfair Chase, the feature race at Haydock. We've got a couple of good races at Ascot as well, which we're going to focus on now. My name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by William Hill trader Damien Ainsworth. How are you, Damien? Are you well, sir?
Fine, thanks. Looking forward to the weekend.
It is a very good weekend, isn't it? The Betfair Chase just looks superb. You know, we've only got five runners, but if any one of them were to go and win, you'd say they're a nice horse, potential for big successes later on in the season as well.
Yes, hoping the race stands up. I think Nigel Twiston Davis is walking the track in the morning with regards to Bristol Dumai.
Yeah.
The ground's quickening up. It would be disappointing if we lost anything from the race. If it holds up, it'll be a tremendous event.
It will. With Bristol Dumai and the doubts about the ground, are we seeing a bit of weakness in him? Because he needs it heavy, really, doesn't he?
It's been a fascinating race, anti-post. People were back in Bristol Dumai when the market first went out, late October, early November, into 9-4, which, looking at the prices now, is incredible. Mm. There was the assumption that it would be heavy ground, that there were doubts about what else would be running. So those people with anti-post vouchers at 9-4 will not be too pleased with themselves. A couple of weeks ago, the money started to come for Might Bite. If you think Might Bite was 3-1 a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's how the market has moved, with some people taking the value there. Native River was popular when that came into the race. So at one time or another, we've been laying those three.
Yeah, Might Bite even money now, of course. Native River 5-2, Bristol Dumai all the way out to 6-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, this meeting traditionally is on testing conditions, isn't it? So you could see what the angle for them earlier on. What have you made in the training room of Thistlecrack? Have we seen any kind of interest in him? Because obviously 2 or 3 years ago, he was the next big thing, wasn't
That's
he? He was
right.
A world beater. He's had injury problems.
We've had divided opinions in the compiling department. We've got people who are on his side. And personally, I find it hard to believe he's going to come back. Obviously, famously, Corto Star came back in this event a few years ago.
Yeah.
To his best. So there's the possibility that Thistlecrack will do the same and raise the roof. I'll believe that when I see it. We'll see.
Okay. And we need to mention Clander's elbow as well. 12 to an outsider of the field. Anything at big prices for him?
There was a bit of interest earlier on in the week when there were doubts about possibly one or two of the others. And he did look, as a six-year-old, he's only got a few lengths to make up on Might Bite and Bristol Dumai on entry form in the spring.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of interest. That's died down now, although the value seekers will probably still be looking for that one tomorrow.
Okay. So at the top end of the market, Might Bite, strong, Native River, we've seen some interest in. Are we likely to shorten either of them again before tomorrow's action?
Of the two, I would say Might Bite, the strength will be behind that one. Native River, I think that the sense is that with a faster ground and the trip 3 mile, I think all his best efforts have been over 3 mile 2+, with a bit of give in the ground. So I think of the two, Might Bite will be the stronger, and we'll be trading around that one in the morning.
Okay, even money for Might Bite. I can see on the website as well. There we've got a special for him to win by over 3 lengths, haven't we, Might Bite? Has that picked up any interest so far?
Not at the moment, but this evening, tomorrow morning, I think people will start looking at those markets.
If you fancy Might Bite, then that could be a way in. If you just click on the race there at Haydock, look at the top of the race card, you'll see Might Bite to win the Betfair Chase by over 3 lengths, currently 15-8. He's even money at the top of the market, being backed in from 3-1 over the past few days and weeks. Native River 5-2, 6-1 for Bristol Dumai. Thistlecrack 9-1 and 12-1 for Clan des Herbeaux. Just out of interest, if you take your trading cap off for a second, if you were to have a thought in the race yourself, do you have a fancy?
I think I think Might Bite is probably going to be the one. Bristol Dumai's record at Haydock is incredible.
Yeah.
It's almost as though he's a different horse at Haydock than anywhere else. Nigel Twiston Davis was making noises earlier in the week that he didn't mind if he was good ground, but I think he's backed off a bit, and I've lost a bit of confidence because of that myself. But it has to be Might Bite.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big Native River fan going into the Gold Cup, and I stated on air many times that I thought it was the bet in the Gold Cup. Today, for Saturday's race, I think given the flat track, given the shorter trip, given the better ground, it would have to be Might Bite for myself as well. But whatever you're siding with, there is the market. Even money, Might Bite. Native River 5-2, 6-1 Bristol Dumai. Thistlecrack is 9-1 and 12-1 for Clan des Herbeaux. That is the feature race at Haydock on Saturday afternoon. We've also got some very good racing on the card at Ascot, of course. We've got the 1965 Chase, and we've got the Ascot Hurdle as well. In terms of the 1965 Chase, we'll head there next if we may. We're going to see the reappearance of Politolog, I believe, there, aren't we? So has he been attracting plenty of support?
Yes. It's another race that's been fascinating, anti-post. When people say there's no value in the anti-post markets, they should look at a few of these races we've been playing with this week. When there are doubts, when people start thinking horses aren't going to run and they start backing others, you can see Benatar, for example, was 10-1 earlier in the week. That's half the price or less now.
Yeah, 4-1 now. Yeah.
Politolog was 6-4 earlier in the week. So we laid plenty of that into 11-10 even money, and Charbel was 5-1 earlier in the week. There were three big Irish horses entered at the six-day stage: Min, Bell's Hill, and Shattered Love.
Yeah.
And when they came out, and people got an inkling that they weren't going to run, they just laid into those three. So we laid all of those three.
Yeah, that's the way you can still get value in the anti-post races, isn't it? Politolog 11-10. Just seeing on the website there, we've eased him out perhaps today. 10-11 out to 11-10. Is he starting to be? Are we taking him on now? Or?
I think there are people looking at the those Benatar and Charbel against him, and also bigger prices. Gold Present's been quite popular,
yep.
So there is some opposition to him.
Okay, 14s for Hammersley Lake and Sizing Granite 33-1. Those are the only two we didn't mention in there. I mean, Hammersley Lake was fairly useful a few years ago, wasn't he? But you know, is there any sign that somebody fancies him to bounce back to form? I mean,
if you look at the ratings, is well in there, but the feeling with Hammersley Lake is a summer horse. He's got an inflated rating because he's been beating up the inferior animals on the summer circuit, and once he gets to this grade, I think the sense is that he gets found out.
Okay. In terms of overriding opinion there, then, in terms of trading, what's the best backed horse in that race for us tomorrow?
It's been Benatar, I would say. I think Gary Moore came out a few days ago and was raving about this horse. He loves the animal. So people have latched on to Benatar. That would be the worst result anti-post.
Okay, worst result Benatar then in that race at Ascot. We've also got the 240 at Ascot, which is a race that used to be known as the Ascot Hurdle, Grade 2. Over 2 miles and 3.5 furlongs at the moment. If the cap fits, is even money at the top of the market. 13-8, We Have a Dream. 13-2 for Old Guard. Raving Black, 33-1, along with Tom and Jerry. And Babbling Stream is 66-1. Let's start with If the Cap Fits, then If We May. Obviously was unbeaten coming into his reappearance. Had a bit of trouble getting back to the track. Had injury problems, of course. Second on reappearance was pretty encouraging, though. Are we seeing support for him on his second outing?
Yeah, it's quite similar to the Chase in many ways, this race, in the sense that there were a couple of big Irish... Well, there was a big Irish horse in there that decided not to come over, Laurina.
Yeah.
And Henderson had another one in the race as well, Call Me Lord, which has decided not to run. So those people on If the Cap Fits and We Have a Dream have got tremendous value. If the Cap Fits was 9-2... on first show in this race, we saw good support for that. That's much, much shorter now. It's around about the 11-10 mark now. We Have a Dream, again, was 9-2. Once people got an inkling that would be the preferred Henderson horse over Call Me Lord, people started piling into that one. Much, much shorter now. So, yes, we've got decent liabilities against the front two in this.
Okay, If the Cap Fits and We Have a Dream, strong at the top of the market. Where does Old Guard fit into it from a trading perspective? Obviously ran well from a long way back at Cheltenham last time when third.
Yeah, he's the horse in which you would rate the race. He's a good old campaigner. He runs regularly and he usually runs to his mark. I saw some prices around this morning about 8-1, and that seemed to me much too big about Old Guard, because you know he'll be in there. He won't be far away. He's looks like a much better horse than the other three in the race. So you'd think he's going to be third at worst, and if either of the big two aren't on the game, he'd be falling into one of those places.
Yeah, Briony Frost on board as well, of course, who seems to get herself into the headlines quite often at the weekend. The jockey there, 33-1 bar those three in the market. Is it a very top heavy market?
It is. The other three, I think the race was reopened on Monday. I think they're just making up the numbers, hoping to get a bit of prize money.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the Cap Fits would be my preference. He's got a few lengths on We Have a Dream from the run. And We Have a Dream, I think the sense is he needs plenty of giving the ground. Been working well, I've heard, but on a fastest or good to soft surface, I think If the Cap Fits is the one to be on there.
Okay, and even money at the top of the market then. Those are the ones that are popular in those three big races on the afternoon tomorrow. Of course, plenty of other races, a whole host of other races alongside that. So anything else caught your eye in terms of market moves for Saturday?
Yeah, we've had a few interesting ones. The 3:15, the Hurst Park Chase, which is the biggest field on TV, 13 runners, and it's good to see that we've got a couple of races with decent-sized fields.
Yeah.
Surname has been very well back today. 15-2 much shorter now. Nichols has got three runners in the race, and that's the one that has been backed, and that's the one that we like in the trading room. In the same race, San Benedetto, same connections, that's also been backed.
Yeah.
We're looking at the other races. The 150 at Haydock, another decent-sized field, 11 runners. Admiral Barrett is a fascinating runner. He's, if you look at a piece of form for in a novice hurdle last year, he's well-treated, but look at his recent form and he's not, so it's a real quandary with that one. But we've been laying money as though people think there is a very well-handicapped horse. 12-1 earlier in the week. That's much shorter now, about 5, 11-2-ish.
Right.
In the 225, you've got the easy winner from last week, First Assignment, coming back. Once people knew that was going to be taking part, that's been strong. That's been very well backed.
Did a lot of moves on Nichols' horses this weekend then, perhaps?
Yeah, I think. Thank goodness he's a trainer who's prepared to run his horses.
Yeah.
People are liking his. And in the Staying Chase, the last race on the card at Haydock, 335, there were 22 entered in the six-day stage there. There are six runners. So, again, anybody who's got any of those six anti-post are on at tremendous value. Captain Redbeard, we were laying earlier in the week at eight. That's 3-1 or shorter now.
Yeah.
That's been a popular one. And I think that's a skim through all the six races.
Okay, good stuff. I see how Bywise is back out in action there as well on Saturday. He's the outsider of the field
there. Yeah, I think his target will be the veterans event in the new year.
Yep. Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much for joining us, Damien. If you were to leave us with a note of the best backed horse of the weekend or William Hill's biggest loser or something along those lines, what would you say to us?
It's probably Surname would be the one in the 315 at Ascot. And looking further back in the anti-post markets, we laid plenty of might bite.
Yeah, no surprise there, I imagine. Very good. Thank you very much, Damien. Okay. Been a pleasure speaking to you. Best of luck. And you going racing tomorrow, or are you in the trading room working hard?
No, rare weekend off. I think I'll take in a Christmas market.
Ah, nice. Very nice. Thank you very much. That's Damien then giving us the lowdown on what's been backed going into this weekend's action. Then really good racing to look forward to. You will, of course, be able to listen to it all on William Hill Racing Radio. So do join the guys for that. Very best of luck if you're having a bet, and enjoy this weekend's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.